Scripture reading for today, very popular at weddings, when Paul speaks to the Corinthians and says, "Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And I think that's a wonderful thought, whether we're getting married or not. Title for today's sermon is Empty Shoes. Aren't these pretty? Dancing shoes. Or maybe a bridesmaid's shoes. Baby shoes. Babies with a lifetime to live, walking, running, someday dancing. Maybe someday a bridesmaid or a bride. Or maybe not. Workman's shoes. Someone is getting the job done, or was. Big shoes. Big shoes to take big steps. Big steps forward in life. Lots of time left to take lots of big steps. Or maybe not. Children's shoes? Grandpa's shoes? Teenager shoes? Lots of teenager shoes. Too many teenager shoes. More teenager shoes than other shoes. There are some empty shoes here, but not nearly as many empty shoes as there are my shoes. Empty, but I plan on putting them on again. I always plan on putting them on again. Everyone does. What about your shoes? If you slip your feet out of your shoes, it's nice to know you can slip your feet back into those warm places. And tomorrow morning, when you get dressed, you can put your shoes on again, or another pair of shoes, or maybe not. I don't know whose shoes I have here. I got most of them from the discards in a thrift shop in Florida, donations, hopefully from people who now have new shoes, and they're walking around in the Florida sunshine in their new shoes, or maybe not. I have a good size accumulation of shoes, and it's not likely that all the owners of all these shoes are still alive. Someone who once wore a pair of these shoes, or other shoes, may never need shoes again. And today I'm talking about empty shoes as a result of traffic accidents resulting from distracted driving. Distracted driving has gotten to be a popular topic. The television has taken it up. It is 23 times more likely to be in a crash if texting and driving. Texting while driving is particularly dangerous because it requires visual, manual, and cognitive attention. Visual attention is diverted from the road. The average amount of time one is looking at their device is 5 seconds. In 5 seconds, going 55 miles an hour, your car will travel the length of a football field. That is the same as driving blind. Close your eyes for a second, for 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where is your car now? Manual attention. Manual attention is diverted as one takes one or both hands from the wheel to manipulate their phone. And even if you have a Bluetooth and the phone doesn't have to be handheld, there's still amount of manipulation necessary to dial numbers, to activate Bluetooth, or to hang up. And 3, cognitive attention is diverted. Cognition, thinking. It goes from driving the car to the contents of the message. One out of four car accidents in the U.S. are now caused by texting while driving. One out of four. Texting plus driving is six times more likely to get you in an accident than drunk driving. That doesn't mean it's okay to go out drinking and driving. It just shows how dangerous texting behind the wheel really is. Statistic time. During daylight hours, about 660,000 drivers are using their cell phone or manipulating some other electronic device every moment. Every moment that you're on the road, you or maybe you're not a participant, but 660,000 people are manipulating their devices. Of the 2.5 million people involved in road accidents each year, 1.6 million, 64%, have a cell phone involved in them. That means over half of all road accidents have a cell phone involved, and 30% were primarily caused by using a cell phone while driving. It's not possible to not know that talking on the cell phone or texting is dangerous, indeed extremely dangerous. Yet we, and especially the other guy, still do it. Why would we do that? Well, for one thing, look how many times we've done it already and we haven't crashed yet. We must be able to multitask. Although studies have shown there's no such thing as multitasking, just rapid back and forth switching of attention. Well, we're just more careful. Or we live in the low traffic North Country. As long as you don't count wandering deer, raccoons, porcupines, skunks. Or maybe we're just lucky. Or maybe we have a strong case of denial. And we are victim, though we don't believe we could be, to cell phone addiction. Not us. However, the urge to answer and respond is almost irresistible, especially for the young. What to do? The answer is easy. Stop driving distracted. I interrupt myself because somebody was telling me about Captain Sullenberg. He was the guy that landed the airplane in the Hudson River, and he landed it safely, and all those people were standing on the wing, and nobody was even injured. Nobody got a bruise or a bump or anything, and they got him safely out of that after birds had put out both of his engines and the airplane had to land somewhere. So Sully was asked how to be safe, you know, when you're traveling. And he said, the first thing you should do is put your cell phone in the trunk of your car. That's what Sullenberg tells us. Anyway, stop driving distracted. Stop believing we have superpowers. We don't. Stop believing we aren't addicts. We are. I've had a really hard time since I started this not using my cell phone because I got Bluetooth and I don't have to hold it in my hand and I can say somebody's name and the car hooks me up. And it's really hard to stop doing that. I'm better. Put the phone away. Don't even think about answering it or sending a quick text. Don't do anything that takes attention away from driving. The picture on the front of our bulletin today, lots of empty shoes there, is from Sydney, Australia. There are 1,400 shoes on display, representing approximately 1,400 people killed on Australian roads every year. I always ask my friend Dorothy Yan, who goes to the Presbyterian Church, if I can practice my sermons on her. She always says yes. And then usually she says, that was good. Or she says nothing at all, and I know that's not so good. Or sometimes she has a criticism. For today's sermon, she said, it was a good safety talk, but that didn't qualify as a sermon. But I think it does. In every single gospel, Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Surely we should love ourselves as much as we love our neighbors. When we think about all of those who love us, those who depend upon us, when we think about a God that is interested in us, we should look after our own safety and well-being. I'm going to put my feet back into my shoes, slip-ons for the day. I put my feet back into my shoes. I hope you will keep doing the same. Amen.